Welcome to our expert session today, and today we are talking about something that comes up a lot on the show, and that is sales. If you've been watching the show over the years, you'll know that one of Kumaran Padiyachi's pet peeves is the fact that many entrepreneurs that sit in front of us as panelists have got no sales strategy. They are not deliberate about their sales. It's something that defines the difference between success and failure, and so we've decided that over the next couple of weeks, we were going to put a series together on actually what is sales strategy, so that people out there who are just going day to day, just trying certain things, might take some lessons from this series and start to become more deliberate and strategic about their sales. Today, Kumaran, welcome. Today we're going to talk about target market selection. Who do we want? Is an important starting point.
For me, it's the number one starting point. Because to the extent that that's not purposefully chosen, then all the poison emanates thereafter, because you're just going around like a rat and mice running to score a deal without any forethought. So that's why I think we should devote some time to talking to target market selection. And one of the things that this entails in my mind is it requires an entrepreneur to pause and reflect on their sector or their landscape, call it, and then they look at it and say, right, if I'm supplying this service or I'm supplying this product, forget at the moment what's unique. What I advocate is rather to start with what are the different target markets within this game. You may find simplistically a corporate target market, a mid-sized target market, a consumer. You know, it depends on what you're doing service-wise or product-wise. And within that, when you plot that, you can see who are the different competitors, what they are doing in that target market, what the pricing margins are, and you want to go a little bit, in my view, on the road less traveled, the white space. You know, almost like a blue ocean type strategy. So if there's everyone hogging on this point here, then what's going to happen? You're going to just be competing on price. Whereas if you've selected your target market properly and wisely with a long-term trend, not something that's happening just for the next year or something like that. What are the trends, the long-term trends that are affecting this market? And one selects that target market according to that, then you can be relatively in a space on your own from a profit perspective, competition perspective, and then you can zone in on the competencies or the things that are going to make you unique in that target market.
So this is more at the strategy level. So what you're saying, the strategy, before we even start to sell, we have to think about where we want to play. Okay. But a thing that I often hear is that that's all very well for you to say. You know, how do I actually interpret this market? Are there tools out there for me to interpret my market? So let's say I'm a glass manufacturer. Like for me, so how would I get that information? Or do I just have to intuit it?
Well, it's a combination of both, number one. And number two, it's not an event, it's a journey.
Yes.
It's not something you can flick a switch, went into a room, 1 hour, bless you, my child, you know, you think someone gave you the answer. So you can't, in my view, well, you can try, but I wouldn't hire a consultant to give you the answer. If it's your trade, if it's your sector, you need to master that. So it comes from reading up globally, locally about this sector or this landscape that you're playing in, studying your competitors, not to copy them, just to learn, listening in on the sales conversations. If your salespeople are having, and you're listening for the nuance, what happened there, what didn't happen there, why, little words and subtleties, research. So it's a mixture of analytical stuff with research reports. Google the stuff, you don't have to buy it. Visiting customers, asking questions. You're not selling anything. You're in observer mode, very meditative observer mode. So I think an entrepreneur, I strongly believe an entrepreneur needs to own that part of the insight learning themselves.
The mistake that I see entrepreneurs make too often, small businesses, is that they interpret their target market as the first one or two sales that they make. Yeah. So they're in a certain market, they hit a chalik, to use a maybe a bad expression, they make a sale and then they think that's my market. And they might, even worse, they might then do another sale in the same market. And then they interpret that that's the market, and they haven't gone. Yeah. So it's almost a false positive.
Yeah, it's a confirmation bias, right?
Yes.
It's confirmation bias. They're getting confirmation of this is what's happening.
Yes.
So they think it must be right. And maybe they're dealing with the wrong target market there, because maybe their price is too low, and so the people are coming to them, I scored a luck here. Mm. And so they're thinking, my model and my product is great.
Yes.
Meanwhile, they're coming to you for the wrong reason. It requires a dispassionate discernment.
Yes.
You know, if you are feeding on the energy or the love of others, then that affirmation is the wrong thing for you.
Mm.
You know, it may be misguided. It's a philosophical thing.
Now, you touched on something incredibly important, and maybe this is a little off topic here, but I think it's critical. In this very boardroom last week, I had a small business here, two young men talking about the fact that they're in these four markets. But when I interrogated those four markets that they're in, that they had decided those were the four basically areas that they were going to focus on, three of them were completely the wrong thing, just by asking somebody else, or by me probing and looking for those false positives. So the off-topic thing that I want to talk about here is, where do you get that dispassionate input? Because very often small businesses don't have the capability to do it for themselves. And the reason, so let me finish the thought. The reason is very much we're in a mode of small businesses of putting on masks and selling the world something. And very often we sell ourselves the BS as well.
Mm. So the dispassionate discernment comes firstly from yourself. You've got to almost reinvent yourself.
But you can do it. Not everyone can do it. Where else can I get it? How do I get that?
Okay, let's assume someone can't do it. Then I would, and we're still evolving in our development journey, I would focus on those customers that you can see are able to have a bit more candid conversation.
Mm.
You know, so if I've dealt with 10 customers, you've got to know your customers intimately well in that early stage of market selection.
Mm.
And you see this one here blows me over and just tells me all the niceties.
Yes.
This one gives a little bit of critical or candid feedback. Now you know, okay, these three that can give candid feedback, let me cultivate another relationship with them. I've done that many times over the years.
Yeah.
I've said, listen, I want to have a separate conversation with you. I want to pick your brain.
Yes.
And let's have a cup of coffee. I want to ask you a couple of questions. And in there, I've got some scripted questions because I've thought about it beforehand, and some questions that just come on the fly. But I know the personality of that person. They're likely to tell me like it is.
Yes.
Without fear or favor.
Yes.
You know?
And I think that's very important, because I'm just being very practical now.
Yes,
because I get
that.
I think that's a brilliant, brilliant suggestion. The last piece that I might want to put in here is customers is the one space. Certainly don't use people in your immediate circle as another, because they only got a looking for a brutal mentor.
Yeah, you know, the people that go to idols. And they suck, you know, some of them, you know, that woody thing. And like, why did they go there? No, my family and my friends said I was great, I should enter.
Yes.
So that's what you're saying.
Right? Yes, don't go to those. Don't go and get the information from the people close to you. Go further out from that. It's 10 minutes has come and gone, and we have to go. We have
to go.
Yeah, I know, but we've got a couple more weeks to talk about this. Next week, we're going to talk about how do we actually go to this market. Once we've identified it, how do we go to the market? Well, that's it for this section today. Do stay tuned for my reflections on the entrepreneurial journey. Well, it's time for my entrepreneurial reflection for this week. And today, I want to take a feather out of the Carlson Dutz cartoon strip. As you see on your screen, it's called The Entrepreneur's Torturous Week. You know, Monday there, you see all the retail king, why should we buy from you, as Carlson walks across hot coals. Tuesday is we demand a pay increase, you know, all the issues we have with our own staff. Wednesday, we'll get back to you, that terrible pain of waiting for answers from clients. Thursday, we'll buy from the one that survives. You know, always our clients are put in a putting us up against our competition as to who's got better pricing, who's got better quality, who's got better value for money. And then, of course, on Friday, you see their clients saying, we need a proposal by latest tomorrow. And at the end of a work week, you're exhausted, and now the client has these incredible demands on you, but you've got to do it because you need it. Now, why this, I think, is important for us entrepreneurs to understand is that as an entrepreneur, we have chosen this life, and that this is not God picking on us as entrepreneurs, but to be an entrepreneur is a tough choice to make, and we have demands every day, every minute of our journey as an entrepreneur. And I just want to maybe be a little bit vulnerable and talk about something that happened to me a few years ago when I was going through a particularly rough time at Raise Corp. And my neighbor, who happened to be a big corporate OD, that's organizational development guy, said to me that, Anon, you've got to change your mindset about what you do. I said, what do you mean? He says, you know, do you ever hear about cyclists talking about how sore their bottom is, that because of the seat that they sit on for hours and hours? And I said, well, I don't think so. He said, because they have a different relationship with their seat, is that they know it's going to be painful. They know that after hours and hours of sitting on that seat, it's painful. But it's part of being what a cyclist does, is to have a sore bottom. And so they have a different relationship with their seat. And that completely resonated with me. I mean, I took a huge amount of time to actually reflect on that. And he was completely right. As entrepreneurs, this journey of pressure, this journey of being let down, losing clients, losing staff, all this pain that we experience is part of our journey. We've chosen, and we have to develop a different relationship with it. And once you've developed this relationship with it, that it's normal and just part of our journey, you can let it go and you can start to create and build a bigger future. So for those of you who are feeling the pain, change your relationship with your seat. Well, that's it for my entrepreneurial reflections for today. Do remember, if you think it, write it down and make it a reality.
For every business challenge, there's a solution. The Big Small Business Show is made possible by MTN Business.
And by Chartered Accountants of South Africa. Lead your industry with a responsible partner. Partner with the CASA today.